and the EU is to have a new migration pact. The deal was narrowly approved by the Parliament yesterday, with objections from both right and left that it either doesn't go far enough or else goes too far in tackling the EU's growing migration challenge. Now, the final green light for the pact is due to come from member states in a few weeks. Ireland will be opting in. So from 2026, there will be common rules for new migrant centres on the EU's borders, with screening and recording of migrants' data, burden sharing amongst member states so that frontline states like Italy and Greece don't bear the brunt of the problem, faster decision making, and asylum seekers being sent to safe countries outside the EU if they have connections there. It's a huge piece of interlinked legislation, this pact, and Justice Minister Helen McEntee is here to tell us more. And maybe you'd start by, because it is very big and complicated, it's been years in the making and the debating, what this pact changes for Ireland, what would be different to what happens now?
Good morning, Áine, thanks. I mean, firstly, I think this is a real game changer because it means that as a country, firstly, we're not dealing with this on our own. We do have a structure in place at the moment, but there's elements of it that don't work. And as the number of people who come to Europe to seek solace, to seek protection, but also those who are economic migrants, we need to have a system that's connected, that's collaborative, and that deals with the large numbers. So,
and is this where the data gathering when people arrive at the EU borders comes in, and the information and health records as well, so that there's common information about somebody and where they've been in the EU?
Well, that, look, that's one of the changes. So what we'll have is greater gathering of information for anybody who comes and the first country that they land in. It will go on the Eurodac system, which Ireland will have access to. And of course, anybody who arrives in Ireland will be able to upload that data. Right. So we have a clearer picture of who's there, who's coming, but also if there are risks, if there are people coming who pose a risk as well. And we're talking about a small fraction, but we will have access to that, a greater and an enhanced system. What it will mean most importantly, and I think there's three key elements separate to that. Firstly, it will make it mandatory to process people within a quicker period. Now, we're already working towards that. So about a year and a half ago, I introduced accelerated procedures.
What timeline are you talking about there?
So we have everything from 2 months. So for the border procedure, which it's called, where people cross our borders, but where they don't have documents, where they get rid of documents, where they might pose a risk, or where they are from a country where the acceptance rate is less than 20%, they will be processed, their applications, their appeals, absolutely everything in 2 months. You then have other procedures where the maximum is 3, you have 6 months. Now, the 6 month period is for more general applications. Okay. They're not people with any particular status. And it means that the quicker you can process a person, if they have a right to be here, the quicker they can move on, the quicker they can get into our communities and integrate. But the quicker you give a person a negative decision, the easier it is to remove them or for them to go home. The second thing, and I think this is absolutely crucial, and this is where other parties who voted against it in the Parliament, Sinn Féin in particular, are missing. As a country, over 50% of people who come to Ireland seeking protection, they've already sought or been given protection in another country. If we don't opt into this, our ability to say you must return to the country that you've been given protection, it doesn't exist. We can't expect other member states to take back people to their country if we say we're not going to join, we're not going to show solidarity, we're going to go it alone, we're going to do it on our own. So it's really important.
I think what Pat Daly was saying was overall acceptance, but reservations about certain provisions. The burden sharing, does that mean we're going to be taking migrants from Italy and Greece, or else giving them money to hold on to the migrants who've landed there?
Well, let's be clear. Sinn Féin voted against this in the Parliament yesterday. Every good thing that has come from Europe, Sinn Féin have voted against. So let's be clear on that. In terms of burden sharing, we will never be asked to accept more than a fair share. And it's not that we have to accept people. We can provide financial support. We can provide expertise and knowledge. We decide that. It's not forced upon us. But it might be a case where we say, well, do you know what? We absolutely feel another country, they've seen massive influx of people. We feel we're capable and we're possible and we're able to take in more. But that's a decision that we can make. But also we're going to be given financial assistance. So if we don't opt into this, we don't have access to the billions of euro that will be made available to help us improve our systems, to faster processing and to house and to accommodate and to support people in general.
The crisis provisions, and again, we've seen this happen before where, you know, for instance, Russia has a beef with an EU member state and facilitates an awful lot of migrants arriving at their borders. What happens in that crisis?
That's happening now.
What happens from here on in?
Well, once we adopt it, I mean, and this will take time. And the reason that I'm saying we need to opt in now, we need to do it in the next few weeks.
What difference, though, will the new crisis provisions make? That's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, it means we'll be able to deal with the situation much more effectively. It means that we'll be able to support countries where they're having that massive influx or that impact. It means that we'll be able to provide the assistance to people, but also that we have a collective effort here instead of one country trying to go it alone.
Okay, and detaining children and deportation to third countries, is the EU going to come up with something like the UK's Rwanda scheme? That's been a concern.
No, that's not. And I mean, firstly, in terms of children, there will be a change where we'll be fingerprinting children above the age of six. That's not been the case to now. One of the main reasons for doing that is making sure that people are not using children where there's human trafficking and where there's migrant smuggling taking place, that we know who these children are and that we're able to support them. So that's a really important element of it. And I think people are trying to suggest that it's been used for other reasons. That's actually to protect children. But when it comes to, you know, a Rwanda style, that's not what we're talking about here. And that's not a proposal that I would support, to be quite frank.
Are people who arrive in Ireland now without documentation, are they now being jailed?
We have had a number of cases, in particular in the last few months, for people who arrive without documents. They've gone through the courts. You know, that's obviously a decision for the courts. The laws are very clear in that regard.
Are there enough Gardaí at the airport to enforce that and keep enforcing that to your satisfaction?
We have a significant number of Gardaí at the airport. And in fact, actually, my own department have taken over a lot of the, if you want to call it, paperwork or the processing through the border management teams, which is freeing up Gardaí. And what I've said very clearly only in the last few weeks is that you will have at least 100 Gardaí across the country who are currently doing who are doing applications and processing, that our department, my department in justice, is going to take that over. We've already started with Meath, Kildare and Wexford. That will continue across the country and that will free up Gardaí, because what we know and what I can see already, because of the fast processing that I've introduced, we have a lot more people who are getting negative decisions, and so we need to make sure that they are able to deal with those cases and that people are leaving and that people are being forced to leave where that's absolutely necessary. But really, that's in a minority of cases.
We had 80 out of 957 deportation orders enacted last year, and also half of those deportation orders were revoked on appeal. How many this year? 80?
I don't have the exact figure, but...
Will it be above?
Well, I don't think we should set a target for forced deportations. I think and I think this is often the point that's missed. It is much easier, it's more effective, it's cheaper, it's better for us, it's better for the individual if people are either assisted to leave or if they leave themselves.
And the criticism you know from opposition TDs is you don't know the number of people are out there who have been told to go and haven't left.
Well, we have a general idea, and you might say, well, that's not good enough, but there's no country in Europe who has an exact figure of where exactly everybody is, unless we keep people in detention camps, unless we literally, as they come in the doors, put them into a building and do not let them leave. I do not want a system like that. I don't think it's humane. I don't think it's the way that we should go. But what we do know is when people get their decisions quicker, they leave quicker. They know they don't have a right to be here. They haven't settled into our communities. But also, as we deal with the accelerated procedures, you will have larger groups of people at similar times. So, you know, look, we've looked at chartering planes again. That process is continuing. We'll be able to remove people in that sense, but it's much more effective.
Have you any flights scheduled?
No, we're still going through the tendering process. But as we have more negative decisions, which we're starting to see because of the accelerated procedure, it is more likely we'll be using chartered flights. But the most effective way to remove people is assisting them to leave or that they leave themselves. And that's no different in any other country.
We have 1,700 asylum seekers and international protection applicants awaiting accommodation, and people have, you know, you can't walk around town without seeing the tents and the situation there. The state is planning new centres. When will they be ready?
Look, we're at the start of this process. This is a long-term plan. This is to complement the migration pact overall, so that when people come...
So not this year, maybe next?
Well, we're talking about quite large facilities, and as you know, the planning process, we have to engage with communities, we have to make sure that we get this right, but there is a plan there. I mean, nobody wants to see anybody on streets. Nobody wants to see anybody in tents. Nobody wants to see children in tents. And that's why every effort has been made to accommodate over 100,000 people in less than 3 years. And that effort will continue. But this is the long-term plan. And anyone that I speak to, they want to know, what is your long-term plan here to deal with the increase in numbers? And this plan that Minister O'Gorman has brought forward that we'll work with him on goes hand in glove with the Migration Pact. We've quicker processing. We've people that go into accommodation. They can be removed more more quickly, but that they can then integrate into the community and won't need this type of accommodation that we currently have to identify.
I know your throat is
apologies,
that too.
So, yes. You
know,
yeah.
And just to explain that to listeners as well, I do want to ask you a couple of other questions about other areas of your brief, yeah. Particularly with Primetime doing the programme tonight on road safety, which is an issue that new Taoiseach Harris has said is one he takes very seriously. Yeah. Mark Coughlan from Primetime was telling us earlier about the GDPR issue, the fact that local authority, road safety engineers, they can't get access to the data. It all seems to be very snarled up. What could you do to sort that problem out so that the local authorities could have the up-to-date information that would allow them to make better decisions for safer roads?
Well, look, this is a priority for everyone, and I'm so conscious every time we talk about this, we're talking about someone who's lost their life and their families. And I am devastated to see the change and the increase in deaths that we've seen, particularly in the last few years. And there's a number of factors, I think, that are impacting it. But there's so many things we can do. And as you've said, it's about sometimes access to information for Gardaí when they're providing
issue
checks.
A ministerial directive or take that up with the Minister for Transport so this can be resolved?
So I can't directly resolve that issue, but it's been worked on, and I can assure people it is. What we've already seen this year, where information around insurance has been provided to Gardaí because they now all have handheld devices, we are seeing hundreds of cars every week being taken off the road for people who don't have insurance. We know that people who drive without insurance are more likely to have bad behaviours as well. So there's so many factors which will influence and help us turn the tide here, and having information and making sure that people are on the road, that their cars are roadworthy, that they have insurance, that they have tax, but also that they're adhering to the rules. Speeding, drink and drug driving, they are the massive challenges of our time, and we're seeing more and more people being caught under the influence of drugs and drink, and we have to nip that in
the bud. Those figures are going up, but what's going down is the number of Gardaí in the road traffic unit. And that's been, I mean, Jack Chambers has said the lack of enforcement is a concern for him. So we have the numbers going up. We have 440,000 more vehicles on the road compared to 15 years ago, according to the Daily Mail, and Gardaí numbers down 40%, or another way they've fallen by 100 in less than 2 years. Isn't that a fail?
Look, enforcement is a key part of the overall objective here and making sure that we reduce the numbers, but numbers have fluctuated, and what's absolutely vital for people to know is that it's not just the roads policing unit that carry out roads policing. So about 25% of any of the checks, any of the policing on our roads takes place through our frontline Gardaí, through our regular units, and in particular drink and drug driving, which has seen a massive spike. It's 75% of our policing. So all of the other roads policing units are dealing with the other issues. And I mean, the bank holiday weekend alone just gone, you had over 5,000 people were stopped and checked for drink and drug driving. And that was done by just our regular units. So I'm not saying it's not part of the solution. It absolutely is. Overall, Gardaí numbers, it's an absolute
traffic
priority.
Unit be up to force? When will Gardaí numbers overall be up to 15,000, which is your target?
It is, and I want to go beyond that. And I'm not, you know, I will always say that.
Because Drew Harris wants 18,000 to fulfil his duties. That's the number he's asking.
Absolutely. And I want to get to that number too. I want us to get to 15,000 and go beyond that. At any point where we've had to start recruitment from a standing still position, it's taken time. We're now at a point where just this Monday, 186 members went into a class to become Gardaí. It's the highest number we've had since 2019. So every 3 months, those numbers are continuing to increase. Last year, we had the highest number of Gardaí going into our college, again, since pre-COVID levels. So it's my number one priority. More Gardaí means more Gardaí in our roads policing unit. But again, I have to stress, it's not just the roads policing unit that are carrying out road policing duties, but it's part of a wide jigsaw. There's so much we need to do here. We allocated, and I allocated just in the last year, an additional €3.5 million for GoSafe vans. So we see in other countries, in Australia in particular, where technology is used. If you have a phone in your hand, on your lap, if you don't have your seatbelt, it's technology that caps you. Well, both. We have to have both. We have to have both of these because they're both as effective. I do believe that.
Also, minimum sentences before parole consideration. You've been working on that for 2 years. Again, that was something that came up at the Fine Gael Ordeshan at the weekend. There's an appetite in the party to see that enacted. When will you have the legislation?
that legislation will be published in the coming weeks. It's something that I identified in my first justice plan when I came into the department. And really, this is about making sure the people who commit awful crimes, that their sentence matches it. That's all this is about. And it's about giving the judges the ability to say that and to make sure that people are kept behind bars where they commit these serious crimes. So I will. The legislation is almost ready to be published. And then obviously with the support of the Houses, I hope to bring it through as soon as possible.
And Simon Harris also said that the government is considering amendments to the hate speech legislation, which has become very controversial. Even if you bring it back with amendments, what amendments, first of all, are you considering? And then listening to the likes of Charlie Flanagan, Michael Ring, Willie O'Dea, it looks as if you may not even have the government votes there this time if you do bring it back.
Look, I think our party and our government has always been a broad church of views and ideas. But you still
need the votes to get the legislation
absolutely
through.
And I've been clear on this. I think there's a lot of misinformation. I think people think what's being talked about is criminalising people's opinions, which is not the case here. My job as Minister for Justice is to make sure, and to our last point, that people who commit crimes, that they serve the appropriate sentences, and that in turn protects
vulnerable
people.
But look at
the
mess in Scotland. This is one of the points that Charlie Flanagan makes. There must be definitions in the law set by the lawmakers, not just left up to the police and the courts. So, for instance, there must be a definition of hate. There must be a definitions of gender and those being attributes being protected.
Firstly, whether it's Scotland or the UK or any other country where they already have these laws, people are not being locked up en masse. I mean, this idea that people's opinions are going to be criminalised, it's not true. It hasn't transpired in other countries. It hasn't transpired here where we've actually had hate speech laws since 1989. What's been proposed is to update them. But I absolutely accept that people have valid concerns around freedom of speech, making sure that we're not criminalising opinions. So I've been taking those on board and I absolutely intend to progress and to look at how we can address some of those concerns. But again, this is about making sure where people are committing crimes that there's a punishment there for them. And I think everybody agrees with that objective.
You got your seal of office as Minister for Justice again from President Higgins this week. Many people have been speculating about your future in Cabinet, whether moving you would send a new signal on justice. Did Francis Fitzgerald persuade Simon Harris to keep you on, that moving you would be grist to the mill for all your critics?
I have no idea what conversations Francis Fitzgerald, to be honest, had with anybody. I know the conversations I've had with Simon, with our Taoiseach, and he's been very clear that he wants me to continue the work that I'm doing in this department. I made no secret of the fact that I really wanted to stay, that I feel there's a lot more things that I want to
do. How lucky did you
finish.
Feel? How threatened did you feel when all that speculation was going on?
There's always speculation. There's always people that have views and opinions. There's always people who are looking for work as well and jobs. And, you know, that's the part of it. And I don't mind that. But my focus is making sure now that we get our body cameras on Gardaí, that the numbers continue to increase, family courts, that it's developed over the coming weeks. You know, there's so much that I want to continue. And I'm very honoured that I'm still in the role to be able to do it.
Justice Minister Helen McEntee, thank you very much indeed. And sorry for I didn't mean to keep you talking so long with that voice. So and good luck on your recovery with your sore throat.